Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's hour two. We're on a Friday. It's great to have you in live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. By the way, on a heater, last week I had the Blazing 5 was 4-1. I also, as you know, had said take New England to cover against Baltimore. I also took Kirk Cousins on Monday night, and I also took Russell Wilson last night. So 7-1 of the last 8. So that's good. Now, I will say this, Joy, is that you know how, like, when you're driving, I'm driving north after the show today. You go the speed limit, a little over the speed limit.
Right.
But there are places you have to speed down. There's speed traps or, you know, like if you're driving in the country, but then you come into a small town and there's a few overpasses, be very careful. You know, the cops are hiding.
Yeah.
And you slow down.
Yes.
So as I go north for about an hour today and drive, I'll drive a little over the speed limit, but then I'll get into like Ventura and I'll be like, oh, okay, slow down a little, overpasses. It's the same. I did not bet this week as much as I did last week. I don't like the numbers as much this week. In fact, the number I like the most is not as good today as it was Monday, and I already bet it. I make my bets often on Monday, a couple of them, because the number's better.
So don't put any mortgages down this
week. I'm just saying, this is not, and I have buddies who do this for a living, this is not a great week. I do believe I have the 5 best bets. And I, you know, this is what I do. You can ask John Goulet. This is all week I do this. Every day I call him and say, get rid of this game. These are the 5 best.
There's a lot of great games, not a lot of great numbers.
Let's just say this. Right today, my Blazing 5 is a small town with an overpass, and there's a cop on the bridge looking at you. So just slow down a little this week on your money spent.
You can make it through safely. Just don't go crazy.
Yeah. Last week, I literally just told my wife, house may be up for sale, or we'll buy another one. I threw everything at it. All right, here we go. All of our odds provided by FoxBet.
That's a hot one. Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins blazing fire. Falcons at Saints.
Okay, the number's changing rapidly. When we did this segment, you know, this morning, it was 4.5 Atlanta. I would take the Falcons here. First of all, now I think the Saints with Taysom Hill are kind of experimenting at quarterback. I do not like that. Remember, the Falcons are coming off a bye with extra time, and Raheem Morris is not only 3-1, but he's trying to win the head coaching job. And in this division, he thinks he can get to a wild card spot. He may be wrong. We know Atlanta since week 6. They can move the ball. We don't question that. But they've allowed fewer than 30 points in 5 straight games. Again, this is a coaching staff coaching for million-dollar contracts here. Raheem Morris wants his second head coaching job. And I feel like the Saints are kind of experimenting more than I would be comfortable with. We have an upset or two every week in the league. I'm going to take the Falcons with the upset win 28-27 here.
Eagles and Browns.
Like it. I love it. Philadelphia is absolutely the play here, +3.5. Listen, Philadelphia's head coach, their quarterback, and their practice habits are all under question in Philadelphia, the sports talk capital of the country. They're getting pulverized. So Philadelphia is a totally focused week. And by the way, they lost to the Giants, but they didn't commit a turnover, and that defense is way better than Cleveland's. The Browns have scored 10 or fewer points in 4 games this year. Only the Jets have fewer. Cleveland struggles when they face better defensive lines because Baker struggles under pressure. That is no longer just an opinion. That is a fact. I think Philadelphia, Wentz, Doug Peterson, practice habits better, beats the Browns 24-20.
Packers at Colts.
I'll take the Colts -2.5. Wise guys are split on this, but I get the Colts team that has extra prep time. They played on Thursday. I like that. But here's the game in a nutshell. Phillip Rivers. The Packers defense has only created 7 turnovers this year. Second fewest in the league. What does it mean? Phillip Rivers is comfortable. Phillip Rivers sacked only 8 times this year. Fewest in the league. Phillip Rivers is comfortable. Rivers 100-plus passer rating, 3 or 4 games. Rivers is comfortable. The Colts defense will not make life comfortable for Aaron Rodgers. Number 1 in total D, lowest opposing passer rating. What does this game mean? Look at the numbers for Phillip Rivers. He's not getting hit. He's not getting rushed. He's got a running game. The Packers don't take the ball away, meaning they don't speed the game up for you. A comfortable Phillip Rivers beats an uncomfortable Aaron Rodgers. Colts win 24-20.
Chiefs at Raiders.
Loved this number on Monday. It was Kansas City minus 6.5. It's now Kansas City minus 8.5. I will still take it. A little lower number. Pull the number, the money you put in. But I'm going to take Kansas City minus 8.5. Why? Andy Reid is 18-3 off a bye. That's better than Belichick. It's the best in the NFL by far. So I get a team off a bye that got beat. It's only lost the last time they played the Raiders. Their offense is not only good 32 a game, but that's not considering the Raiders' defense is below average. The Raiders have only sacked the quarterback 11 times this year. Outside of Max Crosby, who we had on this week, they have no pass rush. So I get a healthy, well-coached team with extra time. There's a major COVID issue right now with the Raiders for the second time this year. I'm going to take the Chiefs by 10. It was my favorite play of the week on Monday. Probably my second favorite play, 36-26 Chiefs.
Rams and Buccaneers.
Again, the number was better earlier in the week, but I'm going to take Tampa Bay minus 4.5. Something to consider. I've bet 7 Ram games this year. I'm 6-1. It's the team I feel best about, and I've had a very simple solution. Jared Goff is an NFL quarterback I like. I think he's a B to a B plus. But when he's uncomfortable, he's not the same quarterback. 4-0 at home. Only 2-3 on the road. Andrew Whitworth, knee on the IR. Watch out, because this Bucs defense, second most sacks, number one rushing defense, will force Jared Goff to throw with a backup left tackle. And Andrew Whitworth is probably a top three tackle in the NFL. With Ronnie Stanley out, he may be the best left tackle or second best left tackle. Also something to consider here. If the Saints lose on Sunday with Taysom Hill, the Buccaneers watch that game and have extra motivation on Monday to win and make up a game as Drew Brees is out. I like Brady to beat the Rams 28-23. It'll be close to the number, which was better earlier in the week. For more on my Blazing 5 picks, check out the Fox Bet social platforms. So you have to be, and if people say you're just making excuses, no. I'm telling you where the speed traps are. I'm telling you I like Atlanta the dog, Philadelphia the dog, and then I like the favored Colts, the favored Chiefs, and the favored Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Lines, COVID this year has been, I mean, there's a Myles Garrett story this morning. When I woke up, I'm driving to work, I come to Fox, and all of a sudden I look up on the screen behind me, and there's a Myles Garrett COVID story. If Myles Garrett doesn't play, Carson Wentz is going to have another half second to throw for 3 hours. Like, that's a difference in the NFL between winning and losing a game. So I said this earlier, my coach of the year today in the NFL would be John Gruden. And there's been a lot of good coaches. I mean, I think what Brian Flores is doing is remarkable. But first of all, they had to move. In the history of the NFL, teams that move are usually garbage their first year. Remember when the Rams moved to L.A.? Remember that first year? Unwatchable. Secondly, they've had two major COVID outbreaks, one this week. And yet, they've beaten Drew Brees and the Saints handily. And they've beaten the Kansas City Chiefs. I've always felt that even the NFL, especially with like a college basketball or baseball or NBA, certain teams winning makes it better. And obviously, when the Lakers and LeBron win, it's better for the NBA. You know, if Notre Dame or Ohio State wins in college football, USC, you know, it's better. Yankees in baseball, Dodgers, Cubs, whatever. But I do think the Raiders are one of 7 or 8 brands in the NFL that are really good. I think the Bears have one, the Cowboys, the Packers, the Steelers. But I also believe John Gruden, like Mike Tomlin, is just good for the league. The more he talks, the better it is. He's got this alpha male thing going, and I like it. But what's really interesting about Gruden, he was out of the league for 10 years, and I was a total cynic. And then he hired Mike Mayock, who'd never been a GM, never worked in a front office. I was a total cynic. But what's the best thing about John Gruden? I don't know about you, but to people that make excuses drive you nuts. They do with me. It's a pet peeve. You can't have any excuses. John Gruden has just ended your excuses in Jacksonville, in Detroit, in Atlanta, in Houston. He gets a team. He's been out of the league for 10 years. He hires a GM who's a TV analyst. They have to move. They are, next to Jacksonville, the poorest revenue team in the league. They have no fans, Raider Nation, which has always been, it's an intimidating crowd. And they are loaded on offense. They've beaten Mahomes and Drew Brees. No more excuses. That's what do you do as coach of the year with what you have? Sean McDermott didn't have to move. Brian Flores didn't have to move. When you have to move two major COVID outbreaks, listen, Vegas is different. The league is a bunch of 26-year-old men. They're alphas. Vegas is not Buffalo, okay? It's a little tougher there. It is tougher to win in Miami. I mean, it's Miami. It's a port city. There's a lot to do. Outside of Applebee's, Green Bay gets very lonely in the fall. And so you're moving a team, not just the team. You're moving them to Vegas. You got a GM you've never had. He wasn't the GM you initially inherited. They've nailed. I mean, they've had some whiffs, but when they've had whiffs in the draft, I don't need to name them. They've moved off them. They drafted one kid. He couldn't handle Vegas. They moved him out of town. But when I look at it, all the excuses for Detroit and Atlanta and the Chargers and Jacksonville, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in your excuses because Gruden's winning and Mayock's winning and the Raiders are winning and they should not be winning and the league is better for it. And you know what? Urban Meyer has talked about this before. Is that when you, and Urban Meyer four times went to a college team and won very next year. Urban says a lot of times coaches go to a new program and they dog cuss the guys they didn't recruit. Those are not my guys. And Urban's like, no, they are your guys. You're the coach of Bowling Green. Those juniors and seniors, those are your guys, even though you didn't recruit them. That is now your family. It's like stepkids. They're my family. And Derek Carr may not be the quarterback that John Gruden would have drafted. But when John Gruden got to Oakland, Derek Carr, his record was 6-9. He had 22 DDs, 13 picks, and a quarterback rating of 86. It has gone up every year, and he now defends him publicly. Three straight years. Now his quarterback rating today is 107, 16 TDs, 2 picks. So when you go to a new team, there's a bunch of guys that you probably wouldn't have drafted, acquired, traded for, or recruited, but they are your players. And Derek Carr today is a borderline Pro Bowler because John Gruden didn't whine. He didn't say, not my guys. He's like, this is my guy, and I'm going to make this guy the best he's ever been. And this is the best Derek Carr has ever been, and it's really impressive. So I don't want to hear excuses. Oh, we can't hold a lead. That is a you problem. Because the Raiders don't have a good defense either. And every week, Joy and I are like, they're boring, but they keep winning games. Mahomes, Breeze, they keep winning them. Coming up next, Michael Robinson, NFL Network Super Bowl champ, former Niner and Seahawk, Eric Mangini too, Warren Moon. We are less than halfway through on a Friday.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tomorrow on Fox, it's a battle of Big 12 title contenders as K-State takes on Iowa State at 4 Eastern. Then Arizona and Washington clash in Pac-12 action at 8 Eastern. College football tomorrow beginning at 4 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
So Iowa State has a coach, Matt Campbell, who is like considered the next big star in coaching. People have suggested there's NFL jobs. Nobody knew who Matt Rhule was 3 years ago. So Matt Campbell at Iowa State, when you watch them play, they're considered... They've got the next star coach, the Urban Meyer at Utah. Everybody's talking about him. He's going to have a lot of options, so we'll see how that – I'll be interested to see because he's a great, clever young coach. So Michael Robinson, interesting, goes to Penn State, and Michael is one of these guys that is so talented. He quarterbacked, he was wide receiver, he was running back, and he goes and plays for the Seahawks for 4 years and the Niners for four. So they were big rivals at the time. He went to a Pro Bowl. He won a Super Bowl, and it's interesting. We're talking about Taysom Hill, who is the Swiss Army knife of the NFL now. Taysom does a little bit of everything, and Michael Robinson, the former NFL fullback, and now with the NFL Network, is now joining us live. So let's start with Taysom Hill. It's not easy. So at Penn State, you know, it's almost like, Michael, you're so talented, you can play a bunch of different positions. The downside is you feel like your whole career is, does anybody really love me, or do they all just like me? So with Taysom Hill, how hard is it going to be from gadget guy and multiple guy to, hey, it's an NFL game, you're starting? How hard was it for you?
Yes, I think it's going to be a little bit difficult for Taysom. I mean, it wasn't that difficult for me because I came in and I played running back. I actually, when in 2010, when Seattle, when we beat the Saints in the playoffs, that beat the Beastquake game and all of those types of things. After the game, I went up to Coach Sean Payton and he looked me in the eyes. He said, "Hey, bro, I wanted you. You're one of the guys that had a special skill set." So it's not surprising that Taysom Hill is doing well with the New Orleans Saints. To me, the surprise was that they paid him $10 million a season earlier, I mean, before the season started. To me, that was the surprise because I didn't think that he had thrown enough passes or shown enough that he could just be a every down quarterback in the National Football League. So that surprised me that they signed him for that money. But once they signed him, it wasn't a surprise that they called him the starting quarterback this week. He's been there the longest. He has the most continuity with all the receivers and things like that. And he knows the system. And guess what? He does not turn the ball over, or at least yet.
Yeah, and it is interesting because when I think of quarterback, I think reps. And you, Michael, and Taysom, you don't get those reps. I mean, if you're a backup quarterback, you don't get reps in the NFL during practice. How many – I mean, like Taysom this year, is he getting any first-team reps outside of this – week at all?
Maybe some on a Saturday walkthrough. You know, so Coach Payton and the Saints are going through emergency situations where he may have to go in at quarterback. That may be the only time. But when you're playing a position like Taysom Hill, you have to be very observant at practice because, again, you may be – I was the same thing as Taysom. I was practicing special teams, and I was a personal protector on punt while the quarterbacks and wide receivers are doing something on the other field. So you're missing out on stuff. So you have to be very observant. You have to be very like a sponge and take everything in. But I think Taysom will do well just simply because you have the right play caller. You have Sean Payton. I don't think he's going to call anything that this kid can't do.
So I'm a huge Russell Wilson fan, but I do think Russell's at his best, and I think he's as good a football player as the world has, but I think he's at his best when you ask him to throw 26 times, he completes 21. And I always felt Russell runs to just get a first down and reboot the downs. Kyler runs, it is part of the mission out of the huddle. And so when I watched him last night, and you know Russell very well, you were in Seattle. Mm-hmm. How does he view running? How did you feel Russell ran when you were there? Were they designed, or was it just like, okay, something broke down, let me get a first down?
You talk about me knowing Russell. Let me tell you something. That kid, Russell Wilson, was at the state championship my senior year. He was a seventh grader. We're from the same area. So I know Russell very, very well. And I look at Russell, he's not a Cam Newton or a Lamar Jackson. He is a passer with scrambling ability. So it's different. Lamar Jackson's a runner, okay, that has a special ability to throw the football. Cam Newton, to me, is a runner, okay? He's a little bit different of a runner, but he's a runner who can throw the football. Kyler Murray may be the fastest or the quickest to accelerate in the National Football League. And so, to me, when Kyler runs the football, it's just a little bit different. As you can see on the video right here, Russell only runs when he has to. Yeah. And he's running just to move the sticks. Unless it's in the fourth quarter, he's running to win the football game.
Yeah. It is. Kyler's really interesting. Ask yourself this. If you were a senior now at Penn State, with Kyler's success, and because I think Russell got Kyler drafted, but the bottom line, 8 years, 10 years ago, guys like you came out and they're like, "Oh, come on, it's a bunch of stuff."
It's crazy.
Seriously, I go back to your last year, you quarterback 12 games for Penn State. If you came out today, have you ever thought, "Oh, I'd be a first round quarterback"?
Man, who you telling, man? I think about it damn near every day, bro. Are you kidding me? The money that the quarterbacks are making right now, of course I think about that. I honestly think I was 10 to 15 years too early. Yeah. You think about the year that I was coming out. I mean, the four BCS winners, myself, Troy Smith, Pat White, and DJ Shockley. And I think, and Vince Young. And Vince Young was the only one of these movement types of quarterbacks in that class to get an opportunity to play the quarterback position. I just think the NFL is starting to catch up with college, Colin. That's what it is. The NFL game is changing right before our eyes.
So, you know, Tua, Burrow, Justin Herbert, they all work. And I said, I was really tough on Baker Mayfield when he came out of college. I didn't like the video with police. I thought I didn't like it. I just said, hey, man, that's not my franchise quarterback. I'm not saying you have to be a choir boy, but I'm out on that. I was out on Johnny Manziel. He was too cocky. But now I've kind of I've kind of peeled off Baker. And my takeaway is, listen, sometimes the world around you changes. Okay, like you may not want to change, but I look at Tua and Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, and I watch Baker and I'm like, oh, bro, he ain't good enough. Like, the league's too good. Like, in 2-3 years, the league's better. I'm just talking about AFC quarterbacks. And it's not a shot at Baker. But today, if I'm Cleveland, I got eyes. He's the fourth best quarterback in his division. Is he not? Mm-hmm. Like, I just look at Baker and I think to myself, I'm done picking on him because the world changed. He had a ceiling. He's hit it. I've seen it. I'm kind of out in it. Is that fair?
Man, Kyler, stop picking on Baker, man. Baker going to tweet you something, man. He going to send a video your way, man. But look, when Baker has to go through 2 or 3 reads and he has to reset his feet, he's just below average quarterback. When he knows where he's going with the football and he has play action involved, he is above average quarterback. I don't think Baker Mayfield was ever elite, so to speak. And I think this year he's finally got with a system that works. Kevin Stefanski, he has this this offense rocking, and it's based off of the run game. And see, I look at Baker Mayfield, he's not a top dog. And when I say that, he's not the show or the main focal point of an offense. He's just complimentary. And that's okay. That's okay to play complimentary football as the quarterback of your team. You just have to understand that and just live in that role. And I think Baker has to choose what he wants to be. Does he want to be a tough guy, right, and say things and walk around like I'm dangerous and this, that, and the third? Or do you want to be just a franchise quarterback and do the right things on and off the field and be a leader of men? Baker has to make a decision.
Yeah, like sometimes people say Russell Wilson's not cool. And I admit he came out with a fragrance this week that smells like love. It's not my thing, man. I mean, I love the guy, but it's just not my thing. But there is people pick on me for this. Even Joy rolls her eyes, is that there is something to be said about being presidential as a president and being, I call it quarterbackial as a quarterback. Sometimes you can't be the funniest guy, the glibbest guy. Sometimes you got to play it straight. Like, did you feel that with Russell Wilson?
Absolutely so. I'll tell you a quick story. In 2012, his rookie year, right after his rookie year, he came to my football camp here in Richmond, Virginia. All of the leaders of our team was there. We had a whole bunch of people there. And his old high school, collegiate high school, he had some of his old guys in town. And he brought a limo to the club that night, Colin, okay? He wore a Carlton Banks sports jacket, and he had a whole bunch of Carlton Bankses with him, okay? It was all good. And we were like, dang, man, Russell, he's kind of square, but he's our square. And it was powerful. And I remember pulling Russell to the side. He didn't drink. He didn't do anything. And I'm like, Russell, you gained the entire locker room today. And then we go on to win the Super Bowl the next season. Playing the quarterback position is part public relations. You got to be able to hang out with everybody. You got to be able to speak to everybody. You got to be able to lead everybody on the football team. And I think Russell wasn't that at first, but he definitely, as you can see on the screen, he's definitely grew into that role.
Well, you're a really talented guy. NFL Network analyst tonight, NFL Total Access at 7 Eastern. We've never had you on before. What a pleasure for us. Good Morning Football. Our buddies over there, they do a great job on that show. Say hi to the gang over there, and great having you on. Full of insight, man. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Anytime, brother. Anytime.
All right. Michael Robinson, who, by the way, quarterback to Penn State, wide receiver. Then he went to the NFL. They used him as a fullback. He made a Pro Bowl. He's Taysom Hill. And I'll say it again. Michael comes out today. He gets drafted first or second round. Like, that's the reality. Steph Curry's gotten a lot of dudes drafted. I mean, you watch that draft the other night. They're like, he's not very physical. He can't do this. He can shoot. Boom. First round. Like, that's what it is now. Steph Curry got dudes drafted, and I think Russell's done the same thing. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Oh, your guy Sam Darnold will miss his fourth game of the season Sunday.
You know what they're doing.
Yes. Well, he's dealing with a lingering shoulder injury. At 0-9, the Jets will be in position to draft another top quarterback prospect next year. And former Jets quarterback Mark Sanchez agrees it's time for Darnold to think about moving on.
Because of the way things have transpired, he's got to make some serious decisions about the longevity of his career and whether or not playing the rest of this year is even worth it if it's in his best interest. You know, if this season is at a loss, like it looks like already, it's not like they're going to turn around and make a playoff run. So now you get into these tough decisions as a competitor, thinking, man, maybe my time's up here and that's okay, and maybe it's best for both sides to move on.
Yeah, this has not been overall a great season for him. In 6 games, 58.6 completion percentage, 1,045 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions.
And hurt all the time.
So, obviously, it's the organization's decision, ultimately, if they're going to move on
from
him.
To protect themselves, they should move on and get a first or a second round pick for Sam Darnold. By the way, the Jets probably... There's an old saying in divorces. Whoever wants the divorce usually feels a little guilty for it deep down. The Jets probably feel a little guilty that they never provided him with stuff. They would probably rather him go to a good offensive line. I mean, seriously, I do think they're like, we never gave this kid a shot. It'd be one thing if the guy was obnoxious, like Jay Cutler. After a while, people were like, please leave our team. I think there's a little bit of Jets guilt. Like, listen, we're going to restart it over. We got a GM we like, and we just think it's better to move. But I do think, you know, Belichick liked Jimmy Garoppolo. He only took a second-round pick, and he sent him to a good coach.
Yeah, I don't think there's any animosity towards Sam Darnold, even though the fact that he's been injured. But I'm with you, and this is what Mark Sanchez is talking about. There's really not a big motivation to push to come back through this injury this year. You could possibly get re-injured or injure it for longer, and then that's hurting your trade status. So you really just need to make a decision about what is the future of the franchise. And I'm sure they're having these conversations at this point because the season is lost.
Yeah.
But I do think that Sam Darnold will end up somewhere and we'll get to see him play at a high level again. Just sometimes situations do not work out, and the Jets have, to your point, done a terrible job of putting people around him.
Yeah.
So the Bengals didn't pass up the chance to draft Joe Burrow first overall this year, and Washington took Chase Young with the second pick. But if Cincinnati had decided to take Chase Young instead, Ron Rivera had his eye on Joe Burrow. He said, the only other option we felt was viable for us was Burrow, and obviously he was taken by Cincinnati. We think Joe is the full package. We think Chase is the full package. Depending on what Cincinnati did, that's what we were going to do. The opposite, we didn't think we would lose out either way.
I like that he's honest about that. Chase Young was easily the best defensive guy.
Chase Young was the for sure best player in this draft. But you can't always draft the best player when you have a position of need, and especially if that position of need is a quarterback.
Yeah.
So, yes, I mean, this makes sense. And they still need a quarterback. So I'm sure if they were in that position, they would have taken Joe Burrow. The current NFL draft order is Jets, Jags, Washington, Cowboys, Chargers, the Dolphins pick from the Texans at 6, Bengals, Giants, Panthers, and Falcons.
You know what's really great about this? Is that once you get a quarterback, it kind of gives you hope. A couple days ago, we talked about this, and I went and made 2 calls to scouts. People are really in on Mac Jones, and they're really in on Kyle Trask. And I've watched Kyle Trask play for 2 or 3 years at Florida, and I was always hit and miss. But my guys are like, listen, if he gets the right offensive coach, he's a big, strong kid who can spin it and move a little. It's like he's going to work in the NFL.
I also like how the draft has evolved, and it's always really bothered me because people like hoard up draft picks.
Yeah.
I have 20 draft picks. Like, okay, that's great. But what are you going to do with those draft picks? And if they don't work, are you going to not be attached to it? And because we have no patience at the quarterback position, which could go either way. Some guys just need a little bit more time to develop. Sometimes we swing too far in the other direction.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, that's where we are. So even if you do need a quarterback in this draft, like Washington does, and they took Chase Young last year, you can take a quarterback again next year. Like, they can take a quarterback this year. They take Kyle Trask. He doesn't pan out. Take another one next year. Trade him. Like, I'm all for that kind of movement if you don't think that it's the right guy. Now, sometimes it's the organization. Sometimes it's the wrong coach, the wrong system, whatever. But I really think what happened with Kyler Murray changed the game. Like, everyone wasn't sure about Josh Rosen, and he clearly didn't get, the time he would normally get in the league to develop. But they made the right decision.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kyler Murray, the Seahawks defense didn't get to Kyler Murray the first time they played this season, but 3 sacks and 7 hits on him last night. One of them actually he landed on his shoulder and appeared to be in a lot of pain on the sidelines, but he is not making any excuses for the loss.
It definitely played for me, in certain situations, but I think, like I said, I mean, put up 21, had a chance to win the game at the end. But throughout the game, man, we started off slow, and then we just kept shooting ourselves in the foot.
It was a tale of 2 halves yesterday. The first half was really slow, not as dynamic as we thought it was going to be, and then the second half, they got going, you could tell he was in a lot of pain.
Well, they kept showing him rubbing it.
Yeah, putting heat on it. Yeah. After the halftime break, he looked completely different.
Yeah.
But they had 10 penalties for 115 yards.
Oh, God, the whole game. It's like there were like three, it was 18 penalties. It wore me. It was a great game.
Now, Seattle had quite a bit of penalties too, but they were able to overcome that. The Cardinals did not. It's the most penalty yards by an Arizona team since week 16 in 2016 against Green Bay, where they had 119 yards of penalties. It got a little bit ridiculous. Yeah, and like you can't play a team like Seattle and Russell Wilson and have that many penalties in a primetime game and expect to win. But I mean, they were right there, but just, I mean, how about Dunlap, huh? That worked out well.
Oh boy, he was easily their best defensive lineman. Easily.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, he's always been long and athletic and he moves well. So joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Eric Mangini's got 3 Super Bowl rings with the Patriots. He joins us next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He's got 3 Super Bowl rings with the Patriots, Browns, Jets, too. He's my friend, Fox Sports NFL analyst Eric Mangini, joins us often on Friday for good introspection on this entire league. And I want him to join me now live. So, you know, we were just talking, I said this once to Jimmy Johnson, there's all running quarterbacks work, they just don't last, and Kyler Murray got dinged up a little last night. When you watch Kyler Murray, and it's spectacular, I mean, it's my favorite thing to watch in the league, what do you make of him? They're very Kyler-centric in their offense. Like, they run as a play, out of the huddle, they're running. What do you make of it?
Yeah, look, you can do that, and we've seen a lot with guys where you're putting a ton of pressure on, whether it's Russell Wilson or Lamar Jackson or take your pick. I mean, Kyler's got 10 rushing touchdowns. He's the second rusher on the leading rusher on the team, and when you expect these guys to carry the load week in and week out, it gets to the point where you're gonna run into some big problems, and you don't have a second pitch. And that's a real issue. You can't be that unbalanced and expect a guy to be Superman week in and week out, because there's going to be weeks where he just doesn't have it like that.
Well, Russell Wilson feels like he runs differently. He feels like he runs to just get a first down and go back to their original set of downs. And it's not running by design. It's running because something didn't work. When you watch him run, does it feel different?
Yeah, it feels totally different. With him, it's more scramble to throw. And then if the window's there, he's going to take the window and pick up the yards that are there from a rushing perspective. There's not a ton of quarterback-driven runs with him where he really has to make that decision. You know, it's sprinkled in here and there, but that's not driving the offense. And to me, that's much more the approach that you have to have if you're going to have longevity. And you and I were talking about this off the air, why pay your left tackle all that money if you're going to expose your quarterback to getting hit 15 to 20 times with quarterback-driven runs? And I think Russell Wilson is dangerous because he will take off, but he's also dangerous because he can scramble around to throw it down the field.
Yeah. By the way, Taysom Hill is going to start over Jameis Winston. I'm surprised by it. He's only thrown 18 career passes in the league. Are you?
Yeah, yes and no. You hear the comments that come out in terms of comparisons between him and Steve Young and the amount of praise that he has. And then I went back and looked at his contract. He's guaranteed $20 million between this year and next year, with next year being $16 million. When you're paying a guy $16 million, that's not a role player. There's an expectation that he's going to assume a much bigger part of that offense. And I think that the thought process has always been he could be the replacement for Drew Brees. And now you get this opportunity to really check to see whether or not you're right on this. You almost have to take it. And I think they truly believe that he can fill that role. Now, he's thrown 18 balls. He's got one interception. So he's thrown less than 1% of the amount of balls that Jameis Winston's thrown. So there's a gigantic leap of faith happening here as well.
Yeah. So you, before the season, I was not on board with this, Eric. You picked the Raiders as your sleeper team, and I was a cynic when Gruden came. I said he's a great TV personality. You can't leave Silicon Valley for a decade and then come back and be Mark Zuckerberg. There's no way. I'm wrong. I was wrong on Mayock. I've been wrong on everything. I imagine you still like the Raiders.
I do. You know, I picked my two teams were the Raiders and the Falcons. And look, the Falcons are making a little bit of a push here, and they've missed a few great opportunities early. But the same thing with the Raiders. There's a grittiness to this team that I've always liked. And I'm, you know, as big a Derek Carr fan as I think you are, and he's playing well. Now, that being said, remember last year we were having this conversation about the Raiders, where John was, you know, a potential coach of the year, and then what was it? They lost five out of their last six.
Yep. They struggled.
Something like that. And with that grittiness and with that physical type play that they've had, there comes some wear and tear. So it's going to be interesting to watch them down the stretch. And hey, if they can sweep Kansas City, that to me alone is impressive enough and gets you in the, you know, the coach of the year conversation.
Yeah. So I think there's a pretty clear Aaron Rodgers, when he's comfortable and with a lead, he is great. When you hit him a few times, even his body language changes. This will be the second defense this year, Tampa the first, where he's going to get hit. He's going to get banged around. The defensive coordinator on the Colts. Is it a great defense or a well-schemed defense? What is Aaron Rodgers going to face this weekend against the Colts in Indy?
Yeah, so Matt Eberflus was a guy that I hired out of college when I was in Cleveland. Really, really bright guy. He can bring multiple looks, can disguise defenses, can do all those things. But when he went to Dallas, he got more comfortable with being stationary, less moving parts, really, really sound and consistent. So that there's that element to it. Now, the tough part with a guy like Aaron Rodgers is if he knows, it goes. If he knows what you're in, he's going to get the ball to the right place. So that can be tough. And you look at who the Colts have played, a bunch of the teams that they've beaten and a bunch of teams they've beaten up on are in the bottom 10 of offenses. This is by far the best passer that they've faced all season. It's by far the best offense they've faced this season. And I'm just curious what Matt's going to try to do to not give Aaron Rodgers those pre-snap looks and pre-snap information.
You live in Cleveland, couple of minutes left. I said with Baker, now that I've seen Tua and Herbert and Josh Allen and Lamar and all these AFC guys, I'm kind of off Baker. I was never a huge fan, but he doesn't size up athletically, arm, size, special. In Cleveland, you live there. What's the feeling? What's the general opinion on Baker this morning?
Look, the everybody's so happy here about the Browns' success. And there, I was doing something at the Department of Motor Vehicles recently, and all they wanted to talk about were the running backs. They weren't necessarily talking about Baker. They were talking about the running game, and that's what they should be talking about. Baker, to me, has upside, but it doesn't look like he has the upside of a lot of the elite quarterbacks that we traditionally talk about. Now, with that running game, being able to build off of play action, being able to slow down the pass rush, I think that's a great situation for him. I don't know if you're ever going to sit back and say, okay, Baker's going to go win X amount of games for us, but I think he can be a middle of the pack, the upper middle of the pack, productive guy with the right system. Yeah. And this looks like it's a much better fit for him.
Eric Mangini, when you get out to California again, well, we may not be able to go to a restaurant. They're closing all those too, so you maybe stay in Cleveland.
We're going to your house. I hear you talk about all the different steaks that you cook.
Yep. All right. Good talking to you, Coach.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Age, don't let it define you. MDriveStart.com. One scoop every morning. Lean muscle, proteins, nutrients. MDriveStart.com. Yeah. I told you this week, I want to be friends with Joe Burrow. I'll just say, how can I say this? My people have reached out to his people to be friends. What's so funny about that?
I like how you just, you manifest these things.
Well, I was critical, but yeah, I move up.
Remember who was your friend first, Joe? Well, we're making friends around here.
We can both be friends with him. But I had my people reach out to his people yesterday.
Well, you have that power.
Well, you could do it too. It's called social media. But
a little different if I reach out.
That's right.
You know, yeah. It's not like, hey, let's be friends.
It's not like a play date or something. I'd like to be friends. Follow me and we can converse and something could happen. I'm very excited for it. I'm waiting for his reply, actually. Good stuff. Warren Moon, this. Jason McIntyre coming up. We're on the road so much during the holidays. If your warranties run out, please go to carshield.com. Save 10%. It's the warranty when yours runs out. Most cars on the road are not new. They're 3, 4, 5 years old or more. carshield.com. Code HERD. 10% off.